I want to talk to you today about conditioning our spirit, because we all have a spirit, and I want to talk to you about what I mean by conditioning our spirit. If I were to say, what does it mean to condition something, sometimes the first thing people think of is, shampoo, and then you condition, right? What if I talked about conditioning your body? Well, we understand what that means. You want to condition your body. That means you're going to do some things proactively, make some decisions that you are going to bring or introduce change into your body because you want to see something better come from that. It's been years ago, but Lisa and I used to do a boot camp together. She wanted to do this boot camp, and I thought it would be a great idea to, I don't know if it was a birthday or something like that. And I thought, I'll even go with her for a month or so. I thought I was just, giving her just the greatest gift in the world. And we did that boot camp, and then we did it 2 months, then 3 months. After about 4 months, I'm like, how can I get out of this? Because when we went through that boot camp, you're doing burpees and lunges and you did all this exercise. And I thought, this is not the gift I meant to give, right? It's fine if she wants to do it, but I don't want to do it. And sometimes, our hearts can kind of get in that atmosphere of I want to see change happen in this world. I just don't want it to be me. I just don't want it to be me. I want everybody else to change, everything else to change. But the reality is everything changes. And so we've been talking about that a little bit. And today what I want to do is talk to you about conditioning our spirit, because next week I want to talk to you about, I don't think I've titled it yet, but I want to talk about having an excellent spirit or a spirit of excellence. And we're going to kind of hit on that a little today. But when you condition your body, let's say, what you end up doing is you end up, you intentionally, on purpose, go and work out. Anybody here have a membership to a gym? Planet Fitness, Iron something, different places around here. But the real question is this: if you have a membership, do you go? And if you do go, do you actually condition your body, or do you sit in the massage chair like I do? Yeah, saying you have a membership is one thing. Doing something with the membership is another. Conditioning your spirit is something that we're going to learn is a good thing to do, but how do we do that? And that's what I want to talk to you about today. I ultimately, if you want to follow along with, I've got an outline there for you, and ultimately I'm just going to give you three choices that you and I can make today to condition our spirits so that they can be recalibrated, if you will, to make sure they're centered on God. Are you facing a giant in your life today? Are you facing a difficult time? Maybe that giant is one of fear or worry. It's concern. Maybe it's a medical issue, a family issue, a financial issue, whatever it is. God's word never promised that when you give your heart to Jesus that there would be no more giants in the land. He just promised that he'd give you victory over those giants that you face. Amen? Okay. Now, I know you don't really want to amen that one. You'd rather have the other version where he eliminates it all. But he said he has already given the victory. And so we're going to take a look at Numbers chapter 14. And I'm just going to read the verses 20 to 24 here in a moment. But this is the story of Joshua and Caleb and the spies that were sent in to the land. God had given them this land. It was the promised land. This has been given to you. Go and take it, is basically what Jesus said. Now, I just want to ask the question to you right now. What promise has God given you where he said, this is the promise I've given to you? But now he's waiting for you to go take it. We have to be in cooperation with God. He says, come and take this promise that I've given to you. So they send out these spies into the land, 12 spies. 10 of them came back with a negative report. 2 of them came back with a positive report. And so what we see from that is something that happens about two people who had their spirits conditioned in such a way to see what God saw, while the others only saw what they saw. What challenge are you going through today that you need to have there maybe be a reconditioning, if you will, a new perspective that maybe God wants to give you so that when you leave this place, it isn't any longer about what you say, see, hear. It's about what God says, what God sees, what God says. We have to recalibrate that. We've got to condition on purpose. Like when you go to work out, I don't know anybody, I've not met one person yet that accidentally exercised. You? I've never heard of anybody just saying, you know, it's the funniest thing. I was just going about my day, and before I knew it, I was on this treadmill, and I was just running, and I don't know how that happened. Now, if you're going to exercise, you exercise on purpose, right? You have to go to the gym. You have to make yourself get on that thing. Nobody ever said, how did I end up on this stair stepper? Yeah, it doesn't happen. You do it on purpose. And when it comes to conditioning our spirits, we've got to do the same thing and make those same choices. If you're waiting around for it to just magically appear, it doesn't. You've got to be intentional. It's something that when there's change that's introduced, we've got to be willing to embrace it. Because in your outlines, that top little bullet, I put this. Change doesn't change until you what? Until you change. Until you do something with it. You've got to actually do something with it. And when it comes to our spirits, hearing the voice of the Lord, even though there might be giants in the land, if you will listen to him, he says, listen, I've given you this land. I've given you this promise. It's yours for the taking, the Bible says. He says that you're to go and inhabit it. He didn't tell them to get a committee. He didn't tell them to get a council. He didn't tell them to send spies out. He said, go and take the land. But in their human efforts, they said, well, let's go check this out. And because of that, 10 came back with a negative response. 2 came back with a positive response. The way that you condition your spirit is going to happen in different ways because we communicate on many different levels. There's 3 ways that we communicate specifically. There's your words, there's your gestures, and then there's your spirit. There's your words, your gesture, and your spirit. Now, typically what happens is this is how it happens in our society today. The first thing that we communicate is our gesture. When you look at somebody off at a distance or walking across the sanctuary, and they're coming your way, and they got their face all wrinkled up, and they just look mad, you go, something's not right, right? They look upset. They look angry. They look mad. I don't quite know what it is, but not happy. Or you may be able to look off, and you're at a grocery store, and you see a couple that are kind of cutely flirting with one another, and a newly married couple, and they're kind of kissy-facing, and then you're like, oh, they're in a good mood, right? You know, they're in love and young love. Because you see the gestures that take place. It's the first thing we recognize. I wish I was good at that. I'm not. If something's bothering me, you can usually tell. And sometimes I'm the last person to know that something's bothering me. You know. And here's ironic. Ironically, the people that usually recognize something that's not right in you are the ones that are closest to you. I can walk through the house and Lisa look at me and she'll just be like, are you okay? Be like, yeah, I'm fine. But I'm really not. I'm not aware of what's going on. And sometimes when she says that, I'm like, I think I am. And then I have to, everything okay? You know, or I'm angry or I'm upset and I'm trying to pretend like I'm not. But she can tell that I am because of the gestures, the nonverbal communication. And that's the way that we communicate first and foremost, almost all the time. And then the next thing we communicate in our society is our words. It's our gestures. Then it's our words. All you have to do is if you want to know what's in somebody's heart, just let them talk for 5 minutes. 5 minutes. Let them talk. Let them tell you something about you. And in 5 minutes, you are going to know exactly. You're going to be able to locate that person, where they're at and what's going on in their life, because they'll start talking and you'll hear if their faith is genuine or not. You'll hear things where maybe they compromise, or you'll hear that they have great love for their spouse, or you'll hear how happy they are or are not in their job or whatever. You'll be able to tell first by gestures and then by their words. And then last, in our society, the last thing that people usually communicate is their spirit. People can easily catch your spirit or the heart of how you feel, though, about something or someone. What we as Christians are challenged to do, when you ask Jesus into your heart, you become a Christian, and the challenge is to allow our spirits to be so developed that when people run into us, the first thing they run into is the Spirit of God. Because if they can run into the Spirit of God in your life, then the words and the gestures will change. But you've got to start with the Spirit of God. So how do we condition that? How do we make it? Because this world's not easy sometimes. It's challenging. And then we can watch a video like we watched this morning, and we can go, oh, I feel kind of bad for all the stuff I was complaining about, right? And it recalibrates our heart. What do we need to do, and how can we recondition this? So we're going to just talk about that a little bit today, about a couple men in the Bible, Caleb specifically. There's another man in the Bible, though, that I'll probably hit on next week by the name of Daniel. In Daniel chapter 5, the Bible says that Daniel was a man who had an excellent spirit, an excellent spirit. And I thought, how can we cultivate that kind of an excellent spirit? So my challenge for you today is this. Yeah, we're kind of learning together how to condition our spirit, but it's so that when we go back out of these doors and back to our homes, that we not go back with that same process or mindset of how we can do this or think or fix. And it, Lord, condition our spirits so that when we go back to the workplace or we go back to home or whatever it is, that we can develop our spirits so people, when they run into us, they run into you, Jesus. When they look at us, what they see is not just us, but they see the Spirit of God all over our life. 1 Peter 3, chapter 3, verse 4 says, "Rather let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God." He says that's very valuable, a gentle and precious spirit. Everyone here has a spirit, and you get to choose what you're going to develop. Maybe it's a bad spirit, a prideful, selfish, self-promoting, arrogant, humble. Maybe it's obedient, joyful. Whatever it is, our spirits, they will come out in everything that we do, in the things that we say, in what we choose to get involved in or choose not to get involved in. For example, you can see it. It's about what's inside that counts. That's what's most important. When it says that, in the Bible it says that when man looks on the outer, but God looks at the, do you remember? The heart. He looks at the heart. That's why, for example, you could be, how do I say this nicely? Let's say you're looking at an average person, okay? Just an average, run-of-the-mill Joe. But then you talk to them. And when you talk to them, you feel better about yourself. You notice that when they walk into the room, man, you feel better just because they're in the room. And they just have such a joy in their life. And there's a spirit inside of them of excellence that in everything they do, though they still face difficult times, they have a spirit of excellence. Versus, let's say, you walked the other way down the road and you ran into the most beautiful, the most handsome guy. I mean, they are just drop-dead gorgeous, or I don't know what ladies call drop-dead good-looking guys, but you run into him, and you say, look at them. They are just, beautiful specimens. But as soon as they talk, all of a sudden, curses come out of their mouth, and they start belittling people, and they start talking people down, and they're just negative in everything that they do. You see, it's not about what's on the outside that counts the most. It's what's on the inside. And that's why it's important for us to cultivate or condition our spirits in such a way that they will line up with the very Spirit of God. Because the kind of spirit you have will give fruit to your attitude. It'll be expressed in your disposition and how you handle yourself. And it'll show up in your moods, the way you talk to people or treat others. The right kind of spirit will give you the courage to overcome. But the wrong kind of spirit will cause you to implode from the inside. And that's why we have to just make a few choices so we can cultivate or condition that Spirit of God inside of us. No matter how long you've been walking with the Lord, whether it's 5 minutes or 5 decades, the question is, are you doing something to nurture that Spirit of God inside of your life? Are you feeding yourself spiritually? You know, when we want to condition our bodies, that means you're going to have to work out. But not only are you going to have to work out and exercise, you're going to have to pay attention to what you put in your mouth, what you eat. You eat the good stuff, right? You got to eat cleaner and whatever that means, and choose not to eat all of the garbage. You know, when I was a kid, I was raised on Pixie Sticks and Jolly Ranchers and, you know, M&Ms. I'd eat candy whenever I could. I like candy. I don't eat as much now, but I'm seriously thinking about taking another run at it, you know? But you can't live off of Twinkies and ding-dongs and ho-hos the rest of your life and say, I'm conditioning myself. For what? The Stay Puft Marshmallow Man? No. You got to do, even if you eat poorly and try to exercise, it battles against itself. And when we talk about conditioning your spirit, it's about feeding yourself the right thing. It's about feeding yourself. Sometimes we just don't. We starve ourselves. And I'm not here today preaching to you that if you just crack open your Bible more, if you just pray more, those are all good things. But I'm talking about conditioning our spirits. What do you mean by that? In Numbers, God said to the children, he said, go and take the land. I have given it to you. I have given it to you. They missed something here. If God gives you something, you simply take it, receive it, thank Him for the blessing He gave. But that's not what they did. They said, we got to check it out first. We got to send out some spies. And when they saw the giants in the land, they became very fearful. And instead of walking in faith, they walked in fear, which caused them to wander much longer than they needed to. Can anybody identify with God speaking to you maybe? And He says, I have given it to you. But because of fear, it caused you to wander longer than you needed to be wandering. He said, you just need to possess, take claim that promised land that I've given to you. And I can tell you right now, if you're here today, God has many promises in the Word of God that He wants to speak into your life. But we got to be willing to get in there and find it. Maybe you're here today and God has spoken a promise to you. God's given me a promise and I'm still waiting on God. Well, don't give up. You keep on waiting and you stay faithful and you stay obedient to God, and you will gain your promised land. So what is it that we need to focus on while we wait on that promise? What are some decisions that we need to make? Let me jump over and read Numbers chapter 14 to you. I told you the spies were sent out. They came back. And in verse 20, this is what it says. The Lord's addressing them. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to your word. But truly, as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Because all these men who have seen my glory and the signs which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness and have put me to the test now these 10 times and have not heeded my voice, they certainly shall not see the land which I swore to their fathers. Nor shall any of those who rejected me. They won't see it. But here's who will. Verse 24. But my servant Caleb, because he had a, here it is, different spirit, and because he followed me fully, I will bring him into the promised land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it. The people that enter the promised land are the ones who simply walk in that obedience. Let me ask you this. What has God promised you? Or what is it that God's speaking to you today? And maybe you've been struggling with it. Or when God said, let's go this direction, and you took a step, your first step, there was some chaos involved. You know, you tend to want to step back, but God says, no, I've given you this. I've given you this promise. You've got to walk in that promise, though. And it was the spirit that Caleb had. It says, because of the different spirit within him that he had. And because he fully obeyed, not partially, but because he fully obeyed God, it says, I'm going to not only give it to Caleb, but I'm going to give it to his descendants as well. Which tells me this, whatever you wrestle with, struggle with, God's telling you to do, and the world's opposing you, not only is it a blessing that comes into your life, but your future is depending on this. Your descendants are depending upon this because it affects your children and your children's children and your children's children's children. It affects them in such a way. That's why it's so important to cultivate and have that excellent spirit within us, or to condition that spirit within our hearts and our lives. So what are we supposed to do with that? There's three choices that you and I can make today. And here's number one, if you write this down with me. Number one, choose the perspective with which you define life's events. Choose the perspective. Perspective is the way that we define things. It's the way that we choose to look at situations. It can turn a setback into a comeback. It can turn a failure into an awakening. I remember at one point in my life when I was so down and out, I wasn't living for Jesus. I had a choice to make, and maybe you've been here. I felt like I was at the bottom of the barrel, okay? And about the time I was ready to just admit I'm at the bottom of the barrel, I was ready to just be self-aware, the bottom fell out and it went lower. And I thought, can it get any worse? Don't say that, by the way. Because it almost always does, or it feels like it. And there came a point in my life where I felt like I keep trying, I keep working, I keep, and I found out the problem was the word I keep doing, I keep trying, I. And it's when God said, you need to change your perspective, Jim. And you need to look at this through my eyes so you can see what I see. And it was then that I was able not only to be delivered and restored, but I started to see His promises to become fruitful in my life. But it started when I chose to have God's perspective on my life. Don't ever ignore that. Don't ever think that That's not that important. The Bible says that the lamp of your body is the eye. If your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. If your eye is bad, your whole body will be filled with darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great that darkness be. What it means is this, is it says, the lamp of your body is your eye, or the way that you see things, perspective. Now, how are you looking at things? Because if everything you look at is in a negative situation, don't be surprised that everything remains negative. It's when we say things or we make comments like this and we look at situations and say, well, that was really nice, but, and then we fill in the blank with a negative comment or statement. Well, that message, you know, was really nice. Service was great, but my life, and we fill in this gap and start explaining away. You chose your perspective. God says, no, I've given you a promise, and I've called you to just embrace that and let my spirit be developed within your life. And then you can have my perspective. Caleb had that kind of a spirit. He chose to look at the situation through the eyes of God and not through the eyes of spies. He chose to look at it through the eyes of God and not just through the eyes of what the world had to say, because they all saw the giants, but when 10 said, the giant's so big, can't get around them, Caleb looked at him and said, the giant's so big, we can't miss them. We go in there and take the land. They can't hide very well, so we're going to take them out. But unfortunately, they didn't want to embrace his mindset. In Numbers verse 24 there it said, my servant Caleb, he has a different spirit within him. He looks at things differently. He has a different perspective. My question to you today is, what's your perspective on where you're at in your walk with Christ right now? Is it one where it's a negative or positive? Is it one that it's, you're positive, but you keep throwing those buts in there? You know what I'm talking about? Oh, I know God's good, but I'm really struggling here. Oh, I know God's my provider, but I really don't have any money and I can't pay these bills. I know God's my healer, but I can't. He wants you to stop it with the buts. No more buts. Can we say that in church? And allow it to be just about focusing on his promises and have his perspective. And we're going to have to do this in three areas of our lives. Let me give you the three and then I'll explain them. But those little bullets in your outline is yourself, your past, and your future. Your perspective has to change in each of these areas. When you look at yourself, what do you see? Do you see what God sees? Or do you just see what you see? See, you'll obtain a clear vision for what God has for you when you look at yourself through his eyes. Because when I got up this morning and I looked in the mirror, I didn't like what I saw. So I did what I could to fix the hair and brush the teeth and shave the face and everything. But that's still, that's all I can do. But when it comes to what's inside my heart, and I look in the mirror of the Word of God, sometimes I don't like what I see. And I've got a choice in that moment. Am I going to allow the Holy Spirit to be reconditioned, give him permission or access, if you will, so that I can have his perspective in my life. The next thing I said was your past. You got to change your perspective on your past. Your past is your past. Leave it back there. Figure out, well, you don't understand, this is just really dragging me down. That's why you need to cut the line. You need to figure out a way to forgive and be forgiven and know what it means to be redeemed. And I have a past. And it's not all pretty. I want to encourage you today, let your past be your mentor. Let's put it that way. When you have a bad, we've all screwed up. I was going to say, how many of you have ever screwed up? We'd all have to raise our hands. So I'm just going to say, we all screw up, okay? But when we make these mistakes, you can't go back and undo them. You know, if you're like me, I wish I could go back and undo some of the wrong things I did. You know what I'm talking about? You know, I wish I could just undo all of that, but I can't. But here's what I can do. I can learn from it so I don't ever have to repeat it again. Allow your past to be your mentor. That's the perspective you can have. And then your future. Get your inspiration from the future. If you develop a strong spirit, such as having a kind of a can-do attitude, and you start looking for the silver lining, you start looking for what's right instead of what's wrong, it will regenerate you in your spirit, because you're not just trying to fool yourself. I'm not saying try to just kind of be a cheerleader and pep yourself up. I'm saying look for God in everything that you do, past, present, and future. You always look for God, and you look for his perspective. Number two, here's the second choice that we have to make. We must choose the measure of difficulty that we are going to assign to whatever event we're going through in our life. Did you know that you get to choose the amount of difficulty that you are going to assign to whatever situation you're going through in your life? You may say, no, Pastor, this happened to me. I didn't bring this on myself. No, life happened. But the measure of difficulty, what are you assigning to it? Because there's nothing too big that God can't overcome. Amen? Can we agree on that? No mountain big enough that Jesus goes, whew, I didn't expect that. It doesn't take him by surprise. It doesn't shock him. And sometimes we measure the amount of difficulty. There's going to be battles to face in life, okay? I'm not saying there isn't. The Bible tells us that in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer because I have overcome. Some of you here today just need to hear that last part, that he has overcome. The mountain you face, he will cause you to be an overcomer when you have his perspective. And when you then, having his perspective, you now choose the measure of difficulty. There's a lot of battles that we have. The question is not it necessarily every battle is to be fought, so you got to choose your battles wisely. You know what I mean? There's times when I know I'm right and I know somebody else is wrong, and I want to go let that be known. But sometimes the Holy Spirit shows up and says, let it go, Jim. Let it go. But I'm right. And that doesn't happen a lot, right? I want them to know. And he says, no, just let it go. Let that battle go. But there's going to be other times when you're going to have to stand up. There's times where we've had situations, whether it's in the family or as a couple or as an individual, and there's times when the enemy comes in and you got to know that you're ready. This giant that's in front of you, it's still there, but he's a defeated giant. You are an overcomer. God has given you the strength to overcome. I remember when I was younger, I talk about choosing my battles wisely. I'm not a fighter. I'm sure you all know that. I'm not a fighter. I'll talk my way out of a paper bag, but you know, I'm not really a fighter unless I have to. Okay? If there's imminent danger or something like that, sure, I'll do that. But I don't go looking for fights, pick fights. But I'll tell you one thing I can't stand is when a bully's picking on somebody else. Drives me nuts. And it drives me nuts that it drives me nuts. Because the bullies are always bigger than me, you know? And I remember it was actually here at church, and one of my classmates was here for something. I don't know what it was, but because I'm going way back as a kid, maybe 6th or 7th grade. And this bully kept picking on him, taunting him, pushing on him, and I had enough. And something inside of me just rose up. And I walked up to that bully, and I gave him a shove. I said, why don't you pick on somebody your own size? And then I went, what did I just step in, right? But the ironic thing was whatever was inside of me, I just said, why don't you quit picking? Why you got to be such a bully? I said, you think you could just be, you're tough, you're all bad, you just want to pick on people. You know what? It's pathetic. I don't even know what I said. Just kind of ranted and raved, all the while thinking I'm going to see Jesus pretty soon, right? And I don't know what it was, but there must have been something he saw inside of me that he just thought, oh, that's cute, you know? And nothing ever happened. But you see, that was a battle that happened where I felt like something, you know, rises up within you. There's going to be times in your spirit when the Holy Spirit's going to stir something within inside of you. Make sure you pick your battles wisely. But when you have his perspective, make sure you assign the right measure of difficulty. Some things just aren't worth, you know, dying on that hill for. But there comes a time when the Spirit of God says, it's time to fight. It's time to take up the armor of God. It's time to get out the sword of the Spirit. It's time to go to battle, knowing we already have the victory. But we just have to walk in that. And if you want to condition your spirit to such a degree that when people see you, they see Jesus in you, then you have to get God's perspective and you have to choose the measure of difficulty you're going to assign to it. Numbers chapter 13, verse 30. I'm kind of backing up a chapter. It says that Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and occupy it, for we are able to overcome it. He had God's perspective. He knew it ahead of time. And you can read later, verses 7 through 9, but it says that they were saying, no, we can't go, and the giants are too big, and they wanted to back off. But God said, Caleb and Joshua had a different perspective. It was only Caleb and Joshua who were ready to go possess that land because everyone else said, we can't. Joshua and Caleb had a different spirit. My question is, what about you? Do you have a different spirit? Do you have that spirit? God. Now, I already told you, you have the Spirit of God inside of you. When you ask Jesus to come into your heart, he says, I'm here. But now we've got to condition that. You've got to intentionally start saying, Lord, where can I grow? Where can I develop? How can I do that? Because it's about learning to walk out our life according to faith and not by what the world says. As a matter of fact, number three, write that down. It's the third choice. Choose a lifestyle of faith over forgiveness. And what do I mean by that? You're saying choose faith and not forgiveness? I'm not saying not forgiveness, but here's what I mean by that. When we're conditioning our spirit, cultivating that spirit of God in us, we're saying, Lord, I want to grow in this area. Now, I'll pick on myself because it wouldn't be fair to pick on anyone else. There's times in my life when I've said, Lord, I want to grow in this area of my life. I want to start saying no to this and start saying yes to this. And I start only to screw up. And I feel like I back up. Lord, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I repent. And God says, forgiven. Now let's go again. And I'll take another step and then two. And I screw it up again. Oh, I screwed it up again. And I back up. And I feel like I have to keep asking for forgiveness, 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 forgiveness. And each and every time, God is faithful. His word says he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins anytime that we come and ask him. But more than that, what God is wanting is for us to walk a life by faith that can rise above that. Let me picture it to you this way. Let's say that you are going to the White House to meet the president. Maybe that's a bad example to use, but the position of president of the United States of America is what it is. It's an honor. They want me to come, and they want me to be able to come into the White House. What an honor that is. So you go out and you buy yourself, say you don't really have the money. So say I talk my dad into buying me a white tux, and I look like James Bond, right? 007. And I'm ready to go. But let's say on the way to the White House, as I'm walking down the road, I see a mud puddle in the road, and I love to play in mud puddles. And so I can't resist the temptation. And so I go over and I start playing a little bit. And before I know it, I'm rolling in the mud and I'm having a good time, only to realize, wait a minute, I'm supposed to go to the White House and I'm a complete mess. And so I go back to my dad and I say, Dad, forgive me. I'm so sorry. I couldn't resist the mud puddle. And he says, don't worry about it, son. Here's another tux. And I get another white tux. I'm like, thank you. I'm very thankful that he was willing to do that for me. And so I start that journey once again, only to find another mud puddle. And I know I shouldn't get in that mud puddle, but man, it's so fun playing in the mud puddle. And I can't resist it, so I jump in the mud puddle, and I'm rolling around, and I'm having a great time, and I get all dirty, and I think, oh my gosh, what have I done? This is the second time I've done this. And I go back to my dad, and I say, Dad, I'm sorry. I messed it up again. And he says, it's okay, son. It's forgiven. Here's another tux. Now, a little side note, I don't think any parent should enable kids like that and buy them tux after tux. This is just an illustration, okay? But let's say that I go back to him a fourth time, a fifth time, a sixth time, a seventh time. The issue is not, will my father forgive me and will my father redeem me? The issue is this. Am I getting distracted so often by the mud puddle that I'm going to miss the White House? That time will pass me by. That invitation's only open for a while. Come another day, that invitation's gone. And I think God wants to give you and I the same invitation. God's willing to forgive. He's willing to redeem. That's not the issue. He'll do that. He's just and faithful to forgive us of our sins time and time and time again. But he says the invitation is into this promised land, to walk in your promise, the dreams, the plans I have for you, the direction I want you to go in life. Well, Lord, it hasn't worked out the way I thought it would. I know. That's why I want you to condition your spirit so you can hear me, so you can see me. See, the goal is to get to the White House, to get to the promised land. What's the promised land for you today? What is the promise that God has put in your heart? Maybe you're here today and you've received a promise. I arrived at a promised land. He's got another promise for you. Well, how do you know that? You're still here. He's not finished. He's not done. There's more he wants to accomplish. Maybe you're here today and you're saying, I don't know what my promised land is. Then wait, be patient on the Lord, but don't go run and start looking at the giants and telling God how big they are and how this can't be accomplished. If God said, I've got a promise, he's got a promise. And if he said, go possess the land, don't call a council meeting. Go possess the land. Go possess the promises that God has for you. I'll close with this. Somebody gave me this poem at the end of first service. It says, autobiography in 5 short chapters. There's a hole in my sidewalk is what it's called. Chapter 1, I walk down the street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. And I fall in. I'm lost. I'm helpless. It isn't my fault. And it takes forever for me to find my way out. Chapter 2, I walk down the same street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I pretend I don't see it. I fall in it again. I can't believe I'm in the same place, but it isn't my fault. It still takes a long time to get out. Chapter 3. I walk down the same street, and there's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I see it there. I still fall in it. It's a habit. But my eyes are open. I know where I am. It is my fault. I get out immediately. Chapter 4. I walk down the same street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I walk around it. Chapter 5, which is where I hope we get, I walk down another street. Whatever street you're walking down that has potholes, God's always faithful and just to get you out of it. But the goal is to walk another street. What is that street? Only God can tell you. And my prayer is simply this, that along the way we condition our spirits, change our perspective, focus on Jesus, so that people see him in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, I pray today that you would give us your eyes to see what you see, because our eyes fail us. Lord, give us ears to hear, because our hearing can dissipate, but Lord God, an ear to hear your Holy Spirit, your voice always speaks loud. Give us ears to hear you. Lord, I pray that you give us clarity of mind and in our spirit for each and every person that's here today and whatever it is they're going through, that, Lord, they would look for you in everything, in every area. Lord God, we know that your word says that you've given us a promise. We are a promise. And so, Lord God, I ask that you would release now in the name of Jesus that potential, that you would release that promise in our hearts, in our lives, and that, Lord God, we would see you in every area of our life. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.